Welcome to Discover La Jolla, where we shine a light on the jewel of San Diego, La Jolla, California. I'm here with Kelly Wright and Diane Wentz from Jay's Heart.
Thank you so much for having us today. We're excited to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. And I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper into your story and kind of get into the details of it all and how you got started. So what was the inspiration and kind of like the back history from when you were a child to, you know, early on in your career, why you wanted to help people and do what you do?
Well, that's a great question, because I think it all comes down to mentorship. Throughout my lifetime in school, I had really powerful mentors just coming in at the right time and really inspiring me toward a career in medicine. And then once I made that decision to go into medicine, then I had inspiration from a surgeon who I just thought was so incredibly dynamic. And really, I always say I like owe my career to him, because we took a night on call that was just overwhelmingly impactful for my decision to then go into surgery. And then once I was on that track, then I had another mentor come in who was a trauma surgeon, and that's how I got to where I am today.
And what about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I think going back to your point of childhood, that was instrumental for me. I grew up playing a lot of sports. So the camaraderie, teamwork, being in an environment where you're always helping people. I was the little girl that like ran to people that got hurt. And so I think from a young kid, I always knew either like sports medicine or nursing or something like that.
And how did you both land in San Diego?
I wanted to be close to my sister. She's in LA, and I was looking for a new opportunity where I could use some of my creativity to really build a program that's, I was at that stage in my career where I was ready to do more than just clinical. And San Diego had this really great job opening. And so the job really brought me here.
And what about you, Kelly?
Yeah, for me, it was nursing school. So I grew up in the Los Angeles area, whole childhood there. And then when college came about, I applied to San Diego State, and that's where I did my nursing job and stayed in San Diego ever since.
I love that. Yeah. And so with both of you kind of coming to San Diego for work and staying here to continue on, how did you two meet and come together?
We were paired together, actually, in our roles. The VP of clinical nursing actually matched us together for the build of our program that's inpatient, and she thought we would be a really good working team, and she was right.
She was right, yes.
And so then we went on to develop, you know, a friendship through our working relationship. But when it came to, you know, last year when I was going through the death of my dad, Kelly was really my support, my unbiased support system during that process. And so it's at that point that we launched Jay's Heart.
I love that.
Yeah. And for me, yeah, we worked together for probably a decade now. And last year was pivotal. But fortunately, before that, we had had time to work together, building programs and making sure that we are on the same page. And so we just connect in the vision that we have for the mm-hmm. community, which is huge. We know deep down inside we're just trying to reach as many people, help as many people, whether it be through our experience at work or through our own personal experiences that we've had.
No, definitely. And being in a working relationship and having that friendship for, what, 12 years? That's mm-hmm. a considerable amount of time. And so under tragic circumstances, you were brought together to form Jay's Heart. So tell us a little bit about that organization and kind of dive into what you're doing today with it.
Yeah, so My dad was always very active. There were just things that he loved to do with life, and he was a big part of my life. He had debilitating heart disease from the time that he was about 50, but he was still living like a very active life, even despite that. Well, as it turned out, in July of 2023, he had just the abrupt onset of heart failure, and we as a family were put in a position to make some very difficult decisions about his care. And some of the things that I recognized, because I'm a physician, I'm a surgeon, that's my background, but some of the things that I recognized when I was at the hospital in the seat of the daughter instead of in the seat as the care provider, it was apparent to me that the team was really working in their own areas of expertise. And I always say, you know, for example, if you go to a surgeon with a referral, you are going to walk out of the office with a surgical plan. You're not going to walk out of there with a pair of shoes because that's not what they sell. So what I recognized is that each area of specialty was advising based on their own lens. And what they were advising was going to work to fix their area of the problem, but globally, it wasn't going to address what really mattered to my dad in terms of his life, and that was to be independent, to go home again, to be able to get into the garage and do his woodworking. You know, there were things that he really enjoyed with life. He wasn't going to be able to do any of that with what they were proposing. And these were big interventions. We weren't talking about, you know, the addition of medication. We were talking about the addition of life-supportive machines to even have an opportunity to get him through this illness. And the problem was there really wasn't a destination point because he had a problem that ultimately could not be solved medically. It was not fixable. The heart failure was severe. He wasn't a candidate to have a surgical intervention. He wasn't a candidate to have a replacement machine device that would help the heart pump. He could not have any of those things because of his history. So we were talking about adding these life supportive machines without the opportunity for him to get home again. It was going to be dependent care from there. And it wasn't what he wanted. And so I called Kelly because I'm the doctor of the family, so the family will always defer to me when making a decision. And my dad was the same. He was still coherent. He was able to receive that information and give his opinion back. And I called Kelly and I asked her, you know, what she thought, unbiased, coming in. She didn't really know him. She just knew, you know, what was important to him and what it was going to look like on this pathway of medical versus going a pathway of supportive care or comfort care, where we would be impacting the quality or the quantity of the life that he had left. And ultimately, as a family, we made that decision together to pursue what's called comfort care, which is where, you know, you change your philosophy. And instead of adding medical devices and machines, you focus more on the life that you have and the quality that you have and maintaining it. And when I got back here, back home, she and I talked again, and together we decided that many families are probably in the same boat. Many families are probably in a same or similar situation at some point where they're making very difficult decisions and they want validation for the decisions that they are making. They wanna know that it's okay to forgo the medical piece and focus on comfort, quality, and quantity of life. But they also need to know that those options exist. And so that's where we started.
I love that. So definitely a lot to the backstory behind it, and kind of what you're doing today. So it sounds to me like you were looking for a different solution for your dad. And I'm sure a lot of people that are in this position, they're looking for other ways, like you said, that they can have a treatment or have that quality of life, but not go more of like the traditional medical route way, or just have an alternative. So what are you seeing today in your consultations?
Yeah, so we meet with groups and we meet with individuals and just get a perspective of what their understanding is, what's going on in their life, what have they already been told, and what is important to them. That's straight off the bat. We just have a very honest, open dialogue on what is life looking like for mm-hmm. you, and what do you envision? Because we're not there with them. Right. We don't see what they do on a day-to-day basis, but that's incredibly important. Some people are very active. They golf, they go traveling, they're cooks, and they are still participating in many activities. And then we have other clients that are sedentary, that live home, maybe alone, that have foregone travel and really want to focus on being at home rather than going to like a nursing facility mm-hmm. or other places. So it really is dependent on what they value, what the person values, if they need assistance with getting family on the same page. That's often a struggle for many people, is like, this is what I want, but I'm concerned about how my kids will perceive my wishes. Can you help me with that? Or it may be I'm getting a lot of information and I just don't understand like who I need to talk to next about my medical plan. Mm-hmm. I may not understand what is truly being offered. And our society does tend to be quite aggressive, I would say, for medical treatment, because our culture is that living as long as possible is the most valuable. I'm not sure where that comes from. I think it's an American culture. I've studied other cultures and it's not necessarily the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes treatments that do not focus on quality of life are not offered in other cultures. But here we have developed such significant technology and such invasive procedures that are not well understood. Even it's challenging for some people in the medical field to understand these advanced technologies and treatments. So we can't imagine how that means for somebody that's not in healthcare.
Right.
So just that's the first piece, is just, what do you understand? Can we explore this together? And then what does life look like for you?
And I wanted to tag on to that, because we are both active in the practice of medicine. We both maintain our full-time careers within a hospital. So we are advocates of medical interventions and surgeries and medical plans. But we're also advocates of what matters most to you in your life. And if we can get from the point of your illness, your injury, your surgical problem, to the point of what matters most to you, and we can fulfill that goal, then going on that medically treated plan is appropriate for you. But there are times when we are not going to get to the goal of what matters to you in the end. And if we're in that place, then Jay's Heart is probably right for you. We recommend Jay's Heart if there's been frequent falls within the home environment, if you're bringing help into your home for the very first time, if you're transitioning out of your home to a care facility or a place where you get assistance, then this is probably a good service for you. Also, if you have a new terminal diagnosis, or you've just received information about something that is going to require some sort of health plan, but there's a decision point there whether to go this way or that way with the medical care, we are probably the right service for you at that point, just to give you the time to talk it through and to make sure you're understanding everything, you've had all your questions answered, and that you've thought about the things that maybe aren't addressed in the physician office. Some of the logistics, some of the pieces of your life that matter most to you, that you want to be sure are going to be preserved with whatever decision that you ultimately make.
Right. Now, if someone wants to partake in your services with J Heart, what are the steps in the process, and what do they look like? I know you mentioned you have the consultation, but is there anything else after that, kind of as they go through their journey?
Right. So we make it as comfortable as we possibly can. We know that when people book with us, sometimes they're just waiting that whole night in anticipation that they're going to get all their questions answered and everything's going to be fixed and put together. And that's really what this service is about. We are offering that comfort and that stability and the validation that all of your decisions that you're making are good for you. Mm-hmm. So what we do is anyone can reach out to us through the website, through email, through our phone, text, or call, and we'll get back to them almost immediately. And then we will book what we call a discovery phone call. That's 15 minutes where we make sure that we are a good fit. So we go through what the issue is and we determine if we can really solve the problem or if your time would be better spent somewhere else, in which case we can do a forward referral to that resource. If after the 15 minutes you still need more time, your issue wasn't solved, then we go into our agreement of how much time we think you're going to need for that issue, and then we price it based on the time that's used.
Right. Well, that sounds really good. It sounds like you have a very clear process that's set up for people looking for that alternative or just wanting to talk about it and get that second opinion, you know, whether it's for them or whether it's for members of their family that they do need help with. Now, if someone is watching this and they want to learn more about you guys and call you up for your services, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Go ahead and visit our website at jayshart.com. That's jayshart.com. Or you can call us at 858-531-7216.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for watching Discover La Jolla.